SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Waiting on either Nick or Jeff Siegel, and I just Hammer got me looking at a little deeper at that Saturday card, and boy, at Oaklawn, and there's a lot of well-known names, popular horses. That are on this card on Saturday, and it's going to be hard. You're going to have to be spinning the dial back and forth between Gulfstream, Oaklawn. I mentioned the Aqueduct card. We're going to look at Santa Anita, too, with Jeff. I mean, God, haven't even gotten to Laurel and Tampa and some of those spots as well. So a really feels like the biggest Saturday so far of the year, undoubtedly. I think we got somebody on the line. I'm not sure who it is. No? Case? Yes? No? I can't. No, not yet. All right. That's weird. All right. Either Jeff Siegel or Nick will join us shortly. Let me see what can I fit in as well? You know, the one thing I didn't ask, and I don't know if Hammer I should ask or text them and see about scratch time with the Oaklawn card and, you know, how to anticipate. And, you know, it's funny because every winter we get to this portion of the calendar or, you know, 10 days earlier, you know, years ago when before they changed their approach to a degree. The last 2 years with the later start and running until Derby weekend. I always want to get involved in the, you know, in Oaklawn and I get started and we do opening day and then I kind of get distracted and you know, part of that, has been, you know, being pretty attentive for a long time to the action at Santa Anita during the winter. But I mean, as Jeff Siegel joins us, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to, you know, dig into these cards and with, you know, the fields as they are and find sequences that, you know, that engage. Jeff Siegel, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. And I will put that question right to you. I mean, how difficult are you finding it to, you know, to create certainly multi-race opportunities?
Well, yeah, it's tough. You know, in this day and age, it's not like you're just married to one track. I mean, if I see a card at Santa Anita that I can't get into, and there are a lot of those on the weekdays, let's face it, there are other tracks you can play. I look a lot at Gulfstream. There's usually bigger fields. The weekends are usually good. You just never know. You can't let the card play you. You have to play the card, and therefore, if you find a sequence of races or a card where you just can't get a handle on it, either because the fields are smaller, you just don't seem to have a feel, then, you know, you either don't play it or you look somewhere else. So that's the beauty of what we're doing now as opposed to when I was growing up, where you played one track and that was it, and there was no other alternative.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, when I was learning this game back in the 60s and the 70s, it's a different game now. Now you sit back, you pick your spots. And I find spots all over the country, really. I'm here in California. I do a full card analysis for ExpressBet and XBTV for Santa Anita because there are people who just want to play Santa Anita, and I do that for them. But I look around. You have to.
Well, we look at what we've got this weekend, and I'm sure you've got Gulfstream opinions too, because you are the host for Beat the Host this week, and you'll split the 10 races up between the two venues. There are some engaging spots. Santa Anita, the graded stake, the Palos Verdes, a six-pack, and an interesting six-pack with St. Joe Bay for Sadler, as well as Flagstaff. I mean, he's sending out arguably the two favorites. Then Baffert's got the next two with Speedpass and Axeman. Start there. Start with the Palos Verdes.
Well, Axeman has entered back on Sunday, so I don't think he's
going to... So he's going to come out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked at that race long and hard. I really did, and I couldn't find anything that I liked. I looked at Flagstaff, and yeah, he's a nice horse. He's won four races, and he's never won by more than three quarters of a length, so he doesn't make it easy. He's going to be the favorite. He's training really well, I can tell you that. But in a small field, with five, I don't know where the value is. I mean, he's not the kind of horse that you can go and say, well, I don't care if he's 4-5, he's going to win. I can't say that. You've got Captain Scotty, who's inside with Speed. You've got St. Joe Bay, who's another Speed. They could kill each other off. You've got Baffert's other horse, Speed Pass, who's outside, but he's been kind of been used as a punching bag in the morning for Mucho Gusto, so I don't know where he's at. I look at a race like that, then I look at Gulfstream's card on Saturday, and I'm saying, why am I wasting my time here where I can go to Gulfstream with the 12, 13, 14 horse fields and their stakes, and you know everybody's healthy and ready to go? And there's the challenge to me.
Well, and I'm going to certainly get those opinions, and people are going to see your Beat the Host selections, which will include five races. Is there anything on the Santa Anita card that you're using? Obviously, you're going to use the race, a handful of the races. Anything that stood out to you tomorrow?
Right. I'm definitely, the contest requires for us to play five races at Gulfstream Park and five at Santa Anita. And, Santa Anita, you can make selections. You have to make selections. That's just, that's the rule. That's what they want. Whether or not they're prime or not, I don't know. But, looking in the... at Santa Anita, there are a couple of races that I like. There's a couple of maiden races going along on the grass that look intriguing to me. There's a horse by the name of Stack and Silver in the fourth race. It's actually a dirt race. So it's a starter optional claimer. I mean, he looks like he should win. I don't know what price he's. I don't have the morning line written down yet. But I think he's going to be pretty solid. I used him in the Beat the Host. A horse of Leonard Powell's that I like in the fifth race, a grass horse by the name of Proud Pedro, who was a closing sixth, never really got into the race in the Mathis, but his mile, he's dropping back into an allowance race. I think he looks pretty good, and that's a nine-horse field, so you should get a decent price there. Clean Karma in the sixth race is a filly that won first time out of Clubhouse Ride, filly who I think will rout. She didn't train like she was much, but she won nicely in her debut in the Protector in a starter race. I like her in the sixth. There was a first-time starter in the seventh from Neil Drysdale's barn named Cosmo, a distorted humor colt that's actually trained pretty well. If anybody can get a horse to win first time out going a mile on eighth, it's Neil. And I know he doesn't have a reputation of cranking him up, and he occasionally will, and I think he's got Cosmo ready to run. It's not a great field, and I would think that he'd be a decent sort of price. And then in the ninth race, there's a Baffert horse named Eddie Forever, who I think will win. So, there are horses that I like, and now you just kind of hope that they're not 6-5 or 7-5 or whatever they may be. And, you can squeeze some value if you look hard enough. So it's not – tomorrow. Saturday's card at Santa Anita is not bad as cards go, but they usually are pretty good on the weekend. So I'm for that. But again, I mentioned Gulfstream is where the action is. I think tomorrow's card, Pegasus World Cup card, is really, really good.
Well, let's start with Pegasus Action. And the two scratches, of course, change the complexion, not just in terms of favorites and the shifting sands on that front, but also from a pace scenario with Spun to Run out. And depending on what Mike Smith's positioning thoughts were going to be from the five hole with Omaha Beach. One thing it does do is it moves everybody from, you know, the furthest extreme posts, which is a difficult assignment going the mile and an eighth at Gulfstream, you know, since the remodel. And it at least gives a little bit of a better chance for those that are outposted. What are your thoughts? Talk about the dirt race and then the turf race.
Okay. I thought Higher Power could be a gamble in the race with Omaha Beach in the race. Not that I don't respect Omaha Beach. I thought Omaha Beach would you know, logically be the one to beat. But now he's out. The morning line and Higher Power was 6-1. I thought that was a gambling number. But with Omaha Beach out, it's fun to run out. Now you're looking at much less. And I like Higher Power. I liked him a lot better at 6-1 than I'm probably going to see here at, you know, 5-2, whatever he might be. So, but I do think Higher Power is going to run well. If you look at his form, he won the Pacific Classic very impressively. And then he went in the Awesome again, and, I mean, he stumbled so badly. It's just, you know, everybody talks about how badly Dennis's moment stumbled in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Well, if you go back and watch the Awesome again, Higher Power was just as bad, and he still finished third. Then he comes back and runs in the Classic, and while he didn't have any excuse, I mean, he's running against the best horses, are the really top horses in last year, you know, Rosso, McKinsey, had some nice horses behind him. That was actually a pretty good race for Higher Power. Now he's fresh. He's training really well. They ship him to Florida. I know John doesn't have a great record, sadly, with shippers, but I really thought Higher Power was coming up to the race in great form. And I said, you know, 6-1, I can deal with that. But now he's going to be the one of the favorites. And yeah, I still think he'll win, but it's not quite as attractive a gamble as it would have been with Omaha Beach in the race.
How do you want to approach it? Is there an intriguing price that you know, the complexion of the race changes to a degree? Somebody that might have benefited.
Well, Mucho Gusto, I think, is going to be tough. There's a little less speed in the race than there would have been. He's the kind of horse that he likes to lay close to the pace. He's not a closer. He's not a deep closer. But he's the kind of horse that if he got caught into a fast early pace and a mile and an eighth, he might not finish as well. But I think the pace scenario looks a little softer. He's training really, really well. And I don't think Bob was originally going to send him there, but now that he's going to send him there, why not? He's halfway to Saudi Arabia anyway, so he'll take a plane from Florida. I think there's a 1 mile on Saudi Cup day that he can run in. But I think he's a good horse. I think, you know, he's fresh. They gave him the winter off a little bit, late fall winter off, just to kind of grow up and get his bearings back. He kind of moved around a lot. I think Mucho Gusto's a nice horse. And if he were to beat the Higher Power, it wouldn't shock me. But I think those are the two. I really do. I think those are the two now that stick out.
How are you going to approach the turf race, which talked earlier with Marty McGee? We'll talk to Mike Welch in about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the more you look at that, the more fun that group looks.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, last year, our turf division, everybody took turns, you know. I mean, it was just every race was won by a different horse. And I'm not so sure that won't continue this year. It seems to be a lot of evenly matched horses. I tell you, you know, obviously you look at Chad Brown and you're thinking that maybe he's got, you know, a good chance to win with one of his. But the one that he has that really intrigues me is Sacred Life. This is a horse who's 12-1 in the morning line. He's a nice horse. He was a decent sort of horse in France. If you go back, anybody get a chance to go back and watch the Seabiscuit at Del Mar back in late November? I mean, he should have won from here to the ocean. And since then, he really has trained really well for Chad. I think he's going to make a really good five-year-old, relatively fresh with only 13 starts. But first or second, 11 out of 13, He's got a triple-digit buyer to go back to this year. I think he's going to have a great, great year. And the time to get him really is now, where, you know, he still hasn't quite advertised himself as much as I think he will. Now, he likes to sit back and make a run. He can lay fairly close, but he's best when he's held up. And when you do that, you're kind of susceptible to traffic and pace. And I'm just hoping that he can secure a good trip. But I think Sacred Life at 12-1 has got an excellent chance to pull off a surprise.
Jeff Siegel with us, J.C. Siegel Racing on Twitter. And, Jeff, before we wrap, another spot or two that stood out to you on that card?
Well, let's see. I'm going to shuffle through my PPs here real quick and see if I can find something that I like. I mentioned I think I used I had to use five of the races here on the Beat the Host. But, yeah, I mean, let's see. Free Enterprise is an up-and-coming Curlin Gelling. He's actually in the seventh race. It's the Fred W. Hooper, a grade three. Curlin Gelling, who's now 5 years old, but he's only run five times, really started to get good for Chad. Broke his maiden, triple-digit buyer, came back and won an allowance race for fun. He's got the perfect style for a one-turn mile. He's a Curlin Gelling. He's never been farther than six and a half, or never been farther than seven. And he's just starting to get going. He was kind of a late-developing type of horse and burned some money early in his career. But I think he's ready to step into a different level, and he's going from a first-level allowance into a graded stakes, so that's kind of a jump in class. But I think he's a nice horse. I think he's going to be a really good five-year-old. So for me, he's 4-1 on the morning line in a big field. I don't think he'll go any lower than that. Seventh race in the Hooper Free Enterprise.
Excellent. One more?
Okay, you know, I think those are my best. Actually,
all right.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, I there are some very deep and competitive races. There's no question about that, and I'll have my selections up on XBTV. I wanted to get a little bit more research done. You know,
sure.
And some of these races, you know, some of these races require it, as you know,
yeah.
14 running
no
fields
doubt.
And. You want to try to find some value, and the ones that I've already given you are ones that I've already those races I finished up, and I'm confident in the selection. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but that's where I'm going to wind up. But a few of these other races are going to take a little bit more work.
Well, those of you that are trying to sweep the host, you got to get by the brain. Jeff Siegel, the host this week at Beat the Host, and XBTV, which, of course, last night provided coverage of the Eclipse Awards. They've got terrific clips available, including the comments from Seth Klarman. And be sure to take advantage of everything going on with Jeff and Zoe and Millie and XBTV. Watch XBTV on Twitter, J. Siegel Racing on Twitter, and XBTV.com. Jeff, good luck in Beat the Host. Good luck overall in the weekend. And we'll talk ahead of the Lewis next week. I'll be at Santa Anita.
Oh, great. I'll see you out here. That's going to be a good race. Three-year-old picture is starting to take hold, and there's some really, really, really nice colts out here, including Nadal, who was just awesome last week. He won't run back for a while, but boy, that's a nice colt.
We're anxious to see what how fast the fast track will be for him and for Baffert. Jeff, thanks so much.
Okay, talk to you next week.
You got it. Jeff Siegel, everybody. We're going to stay right here. Nick Tamaro standing by, and we flip-flopped a little bit. Nick, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. Got about 8-9 minutes before Mike Welch joins us. Let's dive right in, and I'll get before we talk that interesting group in the Jazzle, including last year's Belmont winner, Sir Winston. I want to get your Pegasus take. You know, now with the 10-horse field, and then the turf race, which I think people have shifted their anticipatory eagerness toward.
Yeah, I think the turf race is actually a terrific race, and now is going to get some amount of top billing in a way, given the defection of the two main players in the Pegasus. You know, as far as those that are actually competing, it's an evenly matched bunch of sort of okay horses. You know, it's not anybody that's overwhelming. It's not anybody that you should really fear. And I mean, I guess favoritism is going to be some combination of higher power and mucho gusto. I mean, clearly it's now a very, very evenly matched race. I imagine there are going to be a couple of other horses that see some amount of support. I guess there'll be some love for Tax. And I mean, now you can see horses getting bet that you wouldn't have expected at all. I guess in terms of where I might land, you know, it still feels like there's plenty of pace. So you're still probably looking for somebody who's going to make some type of long, sustained run from off of it. I don't know if he can get the whole thing, but War Story feels like the kind of horse that I'll screw around with in the exotics and maybe try and get underneath. You're not going to get the kind of price that you did last time, obviously, but I shouldn't say that. You're not going to get the kind of morning line that you thought with him being 30-1 at the outset, but he's still going to offer plenty of value. This is a very, very Joel Rosario type of horse. I think you might also get an outrunning his odds type of performance from Seeking the Soul, who apparently is training well again and not too dissimilar from the way he approached or came into this race last year. You know, you wonder who might be the oddball that doesn't show the speed that you're expecting, and I'll tell you the horse that I think would probably be in position to benefit most if there is any type of hemming and hawing amongst the jockeys to his inside is Bodie Express. Bodie Express ran extremely well in the Harlan's Holiday. That was a very, very fast pace where he just absolutely crushed anybody that was up there near him, and he's got the kind of post position where there's no choice. So they're going. They need to get there as quickly as they can, and we'll see if Bodie Express can hang around for any bit of it this time around. So I'm going to be pretty... I think I'm going to play the race in really just a gimmicky kind of way, and any of my multis that end there, I'm going to try and go as wide as possible because now it really does look like a race that's been turned upside down.
Fair enough. How about the turf race?
You know, the turf race, and I think this came as, a little bit of a surprise, but the turf race has got great depth, and you've got horses that are really up and coming, matched up with a horse like Magic Wand, who, you know, is kind of an international superstar, and we've seen her now three times in America last year, and ended up winning a race in Australia, and barely won a $3.5 million race in Hong Kong. So, I mean, she's an incredible horse, and while she probably, some might say she didn't make out that great at the post draw, I'm not sure really how true that is, given her type of running style and the long run to the first turn. One of the things that the Pegasus World Cup turf lacks is early speed, and I think that's something that could be handled maybe to an extent by Irad Ortiz on Instilled Regard. I think he might be a little bit more forwardly placed than you might have often thought based on how he's run in the past. Channel Cat's shown speed going longer. Doesn't really feel like the kind of horse that can make the lead in this type of race, but I'm wondering how the first half mile in this thing is going to go, because it's just horse after horse in this field. It's a long-running, sustained bid type of horse that really doesn't have a whole lot of tactical speed. So I'm wondering if Instilled Regard could be put in a position where he might capitalize on a favorable pace scenario. He's going to have to elevate his game to win this race. Obviously, if the Magic Wand that we saw on a couple of occasions here last year and definitely in those recent starts abroad shows up, then everybody's in big trouble because she's just going to be much too good. And it was only a horse of the year that kept her from getting a couple of wins here and maybe just some poor timing in the Man O' War, given how that shook out with the Rabbit. So I'm expecting that to be somewhat formful in that if Magic Wand doesn't win, I still think it'll be a horse that's gotten some support. I'm intrigued by Mo Forza only because he's gotten good very, very quickly, and he seems to have gotten really good. Now, Rosario took him a little bit farther off the pace in the Mathis Brothers Mile than he had been in some of his prior starts. I don't think that'll be the case tomorrow, given that obviously the connections know what the situation is with the pace as well. So I think he's another one that you probably want to use on a pick five or pick four, because clearly the trajectory of his career is definitely upward right now, and the way he's run recently is very encouraging.
Agreed, and the way in which Barry Abrams talked and the heralding of him as early as, you know, last winter before he had, you know, gone into a gate, it's a cool story and one that's easy to get behind. Any other spots at Gulfstream before we ask about Aqueduct?
You know, those were I've concentrated on those two so far. I've not really spent a whole lot of time on the card. This is a pretty daunting card that you certainly have to pack your patience for. But it does look like a great finish to it, and a little bit unlike last year. I think the weather's going to hold up. So not a whole lot of fun trudging through the mud last year. Of course, I had a good day, so I'm not complaining about it. I'm kind of a mutter in that respect. But these will be fun races to go through. I'll try and put some thoughts on Twitter and see if we can't make a little bit of money. This day's been good to me in the past, so hopefully that continues.
Excellent. Let me get an opinion on the Jazzle. It features Sir Winston, I'm sure, who people will line up against. Mark Cassie made very clear last fall, December, whenever he was on before the end of the year, what he was doing, that he was going to run Sir Winston just in a turf race at Fairgrounds, just to, you know, get him a little tighter and to move his training along. But that this was the, you know, this was the seasonal launch. And I'm sure people, you know, looked at that effort at Fairgrounds and think, oh, it's another stiff from the Belmont.
Yeah, I mean, and I know there was some talk earlier in the week about him maybe having a little bit of a foot or something that might keep him from running in here. So I haven't seen any updates, and obviously everything news related has been Pegasus or Stronach Group stupidity. So I've not seen anything about this. We'll see. If he goes, he's going to get a great pace setup because you've got Mr. Buff to his inside that will certainly show some speed, and a couple of one newcomer in Leitone who has a great deal of speed as well. And this horse was on top of a suicidal pace in the Acclaiming Crown Jewel last time and kept on going. And interestingly, Kendrick Carmouche takes over for Eric Hansel on Roaming Union, which would kind of indicate to you that he's going to be pretty forwardly placed as well. So that would set things up, in at least on paper, for a horse with Sir Winston's running style. You do have a lot of horses coming out of that Queens County that was won by Stan the Man in pretty game fashion. I went back and watched the replay last night, and I'm still not sure how I didn't cash with Backside of the Moon, who really engineered one of the most amazing hang jobs you're ever going to find, to not even finish in the money. But seeing the type of race that Adventist ran in there, you can really appreciate how fast that pace was. And I wasn't sure down the stretch if it was Adventist or Trojan Nation running at him, but it ended up being a horse that almost scored a huge upset at 28-1. So I think that, you know, I don't really have any faith in Sir Winston. I think he's going to have to prove that he wasn't just a horse that was given one of the all-time best rides in the Belmont you'll ever find in moving along a gold rail and tipping out when he needed to, while the favorite was marooned on the Cross Island Parkway, despite the rider having ridden all day long knowing the inside was good. So, I mean, he has to prove it, I would say. And again, you know, this is a horse that has bigger objectives down the line, so we'll see if maybe Sir Winston can get back to that quality form that you would want to see from a good four-year-old handicap horse. But I think tomorrow, obviously, as you alluded to, would be a good time to bet against him. I'm wondering if the alternatives really outside of maybe Stan the Man or trying a horse like Leitone might be the only options.
Fair enough. Let me also ask Nick before we go. Mike Welch is going to join us momentarily. Are you going to get that NHC chair Sunday at Sam Houston?
Well, I'm certainly going to try. That's the
All
plan.
Right.
That's the hope. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The contest is Sunday, and that's a great card, which I think the only thing that you might see adjustment-wise based on this Pegasus card is if Cross Border runs tomorrow in the McKnight, he'll come out of the John Connolly on Sunday, which, of course, would make Dot Matrix the likely favorite in that race for our friend Marshall Graham, who bred Dot Matrix, and he's turned into a better than just a good New York bred. So the big race looks like a lot of fun. I think Serengeti Empress will be pretty tough going to the early lead, and there's not a whole lot in there, I think, to keep her honest. But it came up a quality field. There's only six horses, but there's three Grade 1 winners and a Grade 2 winner. So it's worked out well for Sam Houston, and don't just assume that Sunday is about paying out the Rainbow Six. It's definitely about Sam Houston.
Well, certainly going to wish you best of luck so that you don't have to do a tap dance for the wife and baby as to why you want to go to Vegas.
Yeah, it'll be a hell of a lot easier if I can get it with airfare paid for and a real reason.
We are fully confident. Nick, I appreciate it. NTAM 1215, Nick Tamaro, everybody. Nick, we'll talk next week.
Sounds great, Steve. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Nick Tamaro, and we're reaching for Mike Welch. We got two choices, Case. If we don't have Mike, maybe take the last break, and then we'll come back with Welch and Mary Rampolini to close out the morning. Is that your recommended course of action? You tell me. Is that a, I can see, he's pulling Mike up as we speak. So we will stay here and we'll take one break after Mike and then close out the morning with Mary Rampolini. And we say good morning and happy Pegasus. Mike Welsh, good morning.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. We talked to Marty. We talked to Jay Pribman. We got the Eclipse report. And, of course, Jay on top of the Spunder Run and Omaha Beach stories yesterday. It obviously takes away from the feature tomorrow, but it's still an interesting 10-horse betting field.
Yeah, I mean, there's several interesting betting races on the card, especially during that tail end, during the end of the Rainbow Six. But, yeah, it makes it a more bettable race, I guess, for those who really thought that Omaha Beach was the one in there, and you were looking at somewhere near even money, 6-5. I was probably going to take a shot and side against it, my picks. I find it a tough race to play from a better standpoint, though, because of the no Lasix factor in there. You're really, as a handicapper anyway, you're dealing with a pretty significant element that we really know nothing about. I mean, it's not like we see workouts, we see trips, we have PPs. We don't know how any of these horses are going to really perform without Lasix. Maybe they'll all be fine, but it may affect some more than the others, so you really can't get a true guide on who may run their best race and who may not. But you know, you've got to do the best you can on paper from what you see in their past performances. And you know, with that being said, you know, with the scratches and everything, I wound up picking Higher Power, and I might have picked Higher Power anyway, just looking for a little price against Omaha Beach. But Higher Power's trained well. He obviously is the class of the field now, it looks like, coming out of several Grade 1 races. I think if he can run back to his best race, he's the one to beat here.
I really haven't stressed the no Lasix portion of things. It is, you know, a bit of a wild card. We'll you know, in some cases find out. And of course, this is a dialogue, Mike, that, you know, a lot of people, notably Jerry Brown, with his piece that he wrote in TDN, has stated that, you know, the eagerness to abandon Lasix is only going to complicate wagering decisions for players and put them off. I mean, that has been, you know, a concern and a message that has been sent. I don't know if there's anything to judge from these two races necessarily tomorrow.
What the handle totals are, and
yeah,
maybe try to compare it to the handle totals for these same two races last year and see what you get. I don't know if it's obviously not a very big sample size, so it's hard to say. I mean, on paper, you know, the Pegasus Turf is a super betting race for those that like big, wide-open fields. You know, I mean, you got 6, 7, 8 horses you could probably choose from as legitimate win factors in there. And, you know, then you have to factor in the trip, which is always significant in turf races, let alone three-turn turf races. And then you add on the wild card. That's exactly what Brad Cox called it, you know, when we talked about Arklo. He really doesn't know what to expect. Worked him a few times without Lasix, said everything was fine, but, you know, a work isn't a race, and a lot of these guys just don't know. And some of these horses, you know, we don't know, may have a little proclivity to bleed a little bit after their races and, you know, scope it out after the races. We just don't know which ones do, which ones don't, and, you know, which ones will be affected by the no Lasix. So hopefully, you know, the races will be run clean. We won't have any problem with the horses, at least from a health standpoint. And that's more significant, really, than the gambler's standpoint, is what would taking away the Lasix do, you know, from a horse's health standpoint, as far as even not only through this race, but what effect it could have, you know, down the road on their, you know, their lungs and whatever else, if there is some issue because they ran without Lasix. Hopefully it'll be zero and they'll all come out of this fine. They'll be back with Lasix next time, and the beat will go on. But we'll see. You know, it's really, you know, we're going to have to see how this plays out, because, you know, taking Lasix or running Lasix with two-year-olds without Lasix is one thing if they've never run on it before. But here you're talking about all these horses except for, say, a couple of the Chad Browns and Magic Wand that have had experience with no Lasix. Most of these have done nothing but run on Lasix their entire careers.
Let me ask you for a selection in the turf side of things.
Well, I've looked for some value in here. I mean, my gut reaction is, you know, and Chad admitted he thought he might have a little bit of an advantage at least going in without Parole and Sacred Life, because they have performed without Lasix before and have performed well. So at least kind of knows where he stands with those guys, and we don't know with the others. But I went for a price in here, everything being equal, with Zulu Alpha. I like the way he's trained coming into the race. I mean, his form speaks for itself. He's just a total model of consistency. The mile in the 3/16th, cutting back, you know, to two turns from three, a bit problematic, you know, Mike Maker admitted, but he's won at a mile and an eighth before. And, you know, I just think he's doing so well, and he's going to be valuable if that morning line is even close to holding up. I mean, at least you're going to get a price with him in a race where, like I said, you could probably make an argument for, I don't know, go down the line, all of them. Most of them, you know, if they get the right trip and are on top of their game and the Lasix is not an issue, you know, I think you could have 7-8 legitimate win candidates in here, if not more.
Now, Zulu Alpha for you with a little without Parole and Sacred Life. A couple of other spots on the card, Mike, and you mentioned the way horses are working. The report is going to go up how soon? This afternoon.
We're still working on it because it's just a ridiculously large file. I'm hoping 3 o'clock maybe.
Good. That's fine. That's fine. Nobody will...
everybody that's interested in that will still be well into this card today, or I guess most of them will. Maybe everybody else wants to get a... some people want to get a jump on tomorrow, but I'm guessing those that are buying the workout report are dyed in the wool and are playing today right from start to finish, and we'll worry about tomorrow tonight.
Exactly. But there's plenty of spots in that file that we're really going to rely on, and particularly those two maiden specials. There's the mile and a 16th that goes as the second, and then the 7/8 race, which does have, I think, 5 or 6 first-time starters involved as the fourth. And so we are going to need some input for those that are going to be playing the early pick five.
Yeah, there's some interesting reports in that fourth race. And then there's some horses in there that have already run and run well. And the second race, unfortunately, you know, we have nobody at Payson, so we don't really know about Trove. We do know that Gimme Somo had some pretty big workout reports going into his first race. He was well-regarded. He was bet the 2-1. Didn't have the best of trips. Breaking outside, going a mile's not the best place anyway. He made a big middle run and then kind of flattened out first time out. But I'm willing to give him another shot, and he is, you know, seems to be working well again. But there's several others that are doing okay and have had some decent runs under their belts as well. This is two turns, though, and for all of these, I think this is going to be their two-turn debut, so that's a little bit problematic.
Mike, before we talk about Sunday and the force out on the Rainbow, I do want to ask you, Wild Woods Beauty, Scott Becker, you made the best bet, and she's going to be a price.
Yeah, I'm not sure she's going to be the morning line price. That seems a little bit high. I mean, she was 2-5 last time when she got beat at Tampa. But it's kind of that I will admit, and I will give that out. It's a workout play. This filly just came back off of that race and worked just unbelievable as far as I was concerned. So I'm just taking a shot there with the price. There's a lot of speed in the race. I'm hoping she'll be able to sit right off all that speed, and if she can run back to her work. Again, I don't think she's going to. I think she's, what, 12-1 on the line?
12-1.
Like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I really don't see that. I'll take 6 right now. But so there are a lot. There's a lot. It's a much better race, a much tougher race. She comes out of, obviously, at Tampa when she was 2-5. But, you know, she won the millions of distaff at even money. And, you know, she's had some big races over this track. She's never been worse than second on this track. She's had a couple of second-place finishes. But, I just love the way she's doing, and the key is to just sit off all that speed. You got Nona Madeline, you got Blamed, you got JP's Delight. Spice Perfection is a horse that could probably run from Offutt, but remains to be seen how he'll transfer her form from California here to Gulfstream Park. But, you know, with Leperoux up, I'm sure he's going to, you know, take her off a little bit and try to make that one run, and hopefully the speed will come back. Liza Starr also on the rail's got a lot of speed. So it's partly a workout play, partly a pace play, and partly a price play. So that's my reasoning, and hopefully we'll be right.
Well, and Mike, looking ahead to Sunday, Marty said, I know he's doing the analysis. You're going to write up a full full detailed play for the Rainbow. What kind of a pool are we anticipating?
Well, I mean, it's usually a rule of thumb. It's four times what the carryover is what's put in there. And if that's the case, and you're going to get another $16 million, you're looking at 20. I don't, maybe not that high, but you might get, I'm guessing in the end, you'll get somewhere between 16 and 18 anyway as the final total. And, you know, tip of the hat to the racing department, Mike Lakow. This year, I think for the first time in a while, they got it right. And, you know, they didn't put the six biggest fields they had on the card in the Rainbow Six. They gave the guys with a modest bankroll a little chance here by going eights, nines, and tens. And I think that's a good idea. You know, you don't want to, you know, leave those syndicate guys with the big edge in these kind of things where it's just impossible for most players to hit it without a giant bankroll or a lot of luck. So at least this gives most of the people out there a legitimate shot at trying to hit it. I haven't looked at the six races yet. I'm still working on the Saturday clock and report. But hopefully there'll be, you know, one or two in there. You can narrow down to a horse or two and then spread where you need to spread, and it still won't, you know, cost you an arm and a leg to do it.
Well, and Marty, he thought that he had a single in that maiden, or actually it's a beaten claimer group, the seventh race, and you talk about the field size, 8 by 7 by 9 by 10 by 10 by 10. So it is approachable from that standpoint. And actually, the 10th race is basically a stake without a name on it. Saif and Soweno and Aquaphobia and, oh my gosh, Sambaye, and this is a hell of a nice group.
Yeah, it's a super race, and it's a nice race to have in this kind of Rainbow Six sequence instead of some of those, you know, in years past, we've had just races with nondescript horses and where anything could happen, and it usually did in those kind of things. But, again, I haven't looked at it, and hopefully there will be when I do two, I'll find a single or two in there, or at least, you know, at least one, and a couple you can narrow down to two or three, and then you can, you know, have to spread in the other legs. It's not too bad. At 20 cents a ticket, it's certainly doable anyway.
Exactly. Well, the weekend clocker report, if there's a weekend to utilize it, this is it, between tomorrow's Mammoth Pegasus card and then the distribution of the pool in the Rainbow Six on Sunday. Mike, thanks a lot.
Okay, Steve. See you soon.
You bet. And we'll talk to Mike next week ahead of the Holy Bull. And we'll talk to Mary Rampolini, Marty J., and Mike's colleague from the Daily Racing Form after this last break of the morning. A fast-moving weekend preview at the races. Sirius XM, back with Mary after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on every everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes to close out this weekend preview, and we'll do it with Mary Rampolini, the hardest working correspondent at the Daily Racing Form. She's got to go from Hot Springs to Houston, because opening day at Oaklawn, it will give way Sunday to the big day on their calendar at SHRP, the Sam Houston Race Park. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It is a busy weekend in the Mid-South here.
Everywhere in racing,
but a big weekend here for me.
It's a good Saturday, and really the first big one, and of course on the heels of the Eclipse Awards last night, and now opening day at Oaklawn. We talked to Rick Hammerly about an hour ago. Hammer said he, for the first time in years, he's got butterflies going into today.
Good for him.
Right?
That's
it's great.
That's cute, yeah.
This is obviously between the physical changes at the plant, Mary, and the expansion of the casino, the addition of the hotel, the second full year of the change in the calendar, the new horsemen from really east and west, between the influx of California horsemen, and then people like Maya Engelhart and Shug McGahey coming in from New York. It's really horses follow money, as they say, and it's never been more evident with what's going on at Hot Springs.
Yes, Oaklawn's general manager here, Wayne Smith, said they are projecting average daily purses of $600,000 a day. That, of course, is a record for Oaklawn, and you're looking at maiden special weights starting at $85,000. With this first condition book, so to speak, at the meet. And Pat Pope said that is up from 77,000 a year ago for that first condition book. So Maiden special weights are up about 8,000. Your wide open allowances are worth 90,000. So those day in and day out races are very strong, that purse structure, and that's not even getting into a $10 million stake schedule, Steve, which there will be four $1 million races this meet at Oaklawn.
The three-year-old scene, of course, leading to the Arkansas Derby, and the addition of the Derby, Kentucky Derby weekend as closing weekend, and what they've created for that as part of an addendum on the backside of Arkansas Derby Day, and the Racing Festival of the South, of course, looking forward to being there for the fourth time in 5 years. Mary, some themes early in the meet that you suggest people keep an eye out.
Sure. I mean, some stables, you said?
Stables and the people that start, that tendency to start hot. We already expect Steve Asmussen and Diodoro, I suppose, Villafranco. You look at last year's, I'm looking at the winner's book from last year, and, some of the most prominent names. And really, it was a bit of a chalk fest, I'm just looking back. The first, week or the first two weekends, it was very formful to start the meet. That doesn't necessarily guarantee anything, but some thoughts about pulling out of the driveway here.
Yeah, sure. I think Steve Asmussen, he's going for his 11th Oaklawn title, and that would tie a record with Henry Forrest, so that's quite an accomplishment.
Wow.
From one Hall of Famer to another. Like you said, Asmussen is coming in very strong into this meet. He's very, well-entered, I should say. Over the first 3 days of the meet, he'll have four horses in the Smarty Jones, which is the feature today, Friday, and Silver Prospector, of course, as a Grade 2 winner around two turns. Has to look very strong in that spot for him. Robertino Diodoro brings a strong stable in here. They are ready to rock and roll for this meet. This is a focal point for Robertino, as so many people, because of the purse structure. I like some of the horses Carl Broberg had on. He's gradually been expanding his presence at Oaklawn and seems to also be having an uptick in quality. So I thought some of the horses he had selected for spots here at Oaklawn, where he does have a division, looked stronger than maybe usual for him up at this richer meet. And, I think you look for your riding colony, David Cohen, who won the title last year. He will start back riding Sunday, and he'll be very active on Sunday's card. He's having to complete a two-day suspension from last season for a riding infraction. So that's the reason he's out Friday and Saturday. But for new faces, you've got Joe Talamo, and Joe has got quite a few nice mounts starting off. Martin Garcia, Tyler Bays, and, they've got a nice base of California trainers to ride for. And those include Sadler, John Sadler, who has a division here. And I thought he really looked good in a lot of races over this opening weekend, Steve.
Well, and speaking of starting the meet out with suspensions, it's nice to see that Ramon Vasquez gets to ride on opening day.
Yes, and yes, we'll have Carlos Santana Jr., because sometimes they, David Cohen and I were talking the other day, when you have your days at Oaklawn, and his happened to come down very late in the meet, they have to be served at Oaklawn. So, yes, like you said, it's kind of a little tradition of some folks missing early out the first few days to take care of business from last year.
Exactly. Well, before we talk about Sam Houston on Sunday, Mary, what's your play today in the Smarty Jones?
Oh, yeah. I do like, not real creative. Maybe your formful stats will hold, because I've simply gone Silver Prospector, over shoplifted, Steve, and I'm very much looking forward to see what Three Technique does for trainer Jeremiah Englehart, who's, like you mentioned here, new here with the division. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, nothing real creative. How about yourself?
I actually wanted to get shared sense involved. The Brad Cox maiden that's not a maiden, and I don't know if he's gonna. If we're gonna get 12-1, but I think he's competitive. I think he's gonna get a nice trip behind the speed, and there is ample speed with four horses stretching out from their most recent starts. The Smarty Jones goes off at 3:52 Central, 4:52 Eastern today. The feature that gets the season into second gear right away. Then two divisions tomorrow of the fifth season and the Pippin, and plenty of good allowance and maiden action. Oaklawn underway. Mary, let's spend the last four plus minutes talking about Sam Houston on Sunday, the two graded stakes, the Connolly and the Houston Ladies Classic, that has really become a fixture for early season distaffers that have turned the corner from 3 to 4 and older. And you got three grade one winners, a grade two winner, just a six pack, but boy, it's a nice field.
A really strong field, Stephen. And like you mentioned, this is Sam Houston's richest race of the season. It's going to anchor a card of six stakes races for Sunday, a special Sunday afternoon card. And this Houston Ladies Classic field, you know, arguably is just one of the strongest they've had, one of the deepest, I should say, they've had. Last year, Midnight Bisou launched her season in this race, of course. And then, you know, coming back this year, like you said, you've got these three fillies that won grade one races at three, Serengeti Empress, Street Band, and Out for a Spin, and then it's just stacked with depth behind them with the Fall City winner, My Lady Curlin, and also, you know, Lady Apple. She won a trio of grade three races last year. She's really a nice filly, too. So a good little group here. And a nice kind of rematch between Serengeti, Empress, and Street Band, which they seem to duke it out on a regular basis, those two.
Well, Serengeti Empress obviously has got seemingly a bit of a advantage from a style standpoint and a speed standpoint. Hit a couple of other highlights on the card. The Connolly with a 12-horse field. The Texas Mile, which is up to 200,000. That got a nice full field of a dozen. You got the Turf Sprint as well. The Frontier Utilities. Pick a couple of spots and give us a couple of plays.
Yeah, sure. You know, Mike Maker is going for his eighth win in the Connolly Cup. That's a mile and a half on the grass. Yeah, really a remarkable record for him. He'll have four in this race Sunday, Steve. And, you know, just looking over the race of Mike's horses, all of which are capable, I really thought Marzo was interesting. So he's a horse I found just kind of an interesting horse. I think if he were to, you know, run back to his effort in the Sycamore, he would probably be pretty tough in this spot. So I like him in there. As far as the Stoner Side Sprint, I thought Mike was very well represented in there with Pete's Play Call. And then, like you mentioned, this Texas Turf Mile has drawn a very large and competitive field for the race, which is for three-year-olds. And there's a really nice group in there. You've got Billy Batts coming off his runner-up finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Chimney Rock is coming out of his runner-up finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. And you've got Deviant, a horse who participated in the Breeders' Cup, that's a multiple stakes winner in My Market. And Pixelate, a stakes winner at Aqueduct on the grass. So just a really, really, again, a lot of depth. It's really a good handicapping card. There's, you know, it's really a fun to handicap those turf races as usual.
Well, and Pixelate gets drawn down inside, and, you know, Mike Stidham. We talked to Stidham late last year, and he was hitting on all cylinders. He already has started the year with a bang, and Pixelate 4-1, I think, as second choice. Jack and Noah drawn outside, and so Gaffalione is going to have to put the spurs to Jack and Noah early for Mark Cassie from the 12 hole, 9-2. Billy Batts, good to see Billy Batts starting off for the season. And I got to ask, who's the stakes coordinator at Sam Houston? Because for them to draw these horses from really all over the map is a real testimony. And you know, Andrea Young, who we laud all the time, and they're doing so many things right. The 12% multi-race takeout, kudos to Sam Houston.
Yeah, you know, Steve, they are really horse player minded, like you said. And on top of it, they got such a great turf course, and it's very widely respected among horsemen. You know, they like participating on that course down there, and they really showcase it really nicely on Sunday, you know. So, yeah, really a well-done, coordinated effort from everybody with that racing department led by Frank Hoff.
Well, Mary, busy weekend for you. We'll be following the action and following your feed and DRF Live and DRF Rampolini. Mary, enjoy, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Mary Rampolini, who covers from Louisiana to New Mexico. Yeah, exactly. That is a wide swath of territory, and she does a great job. What a fun 3 hours this was. If you missed anything, Case will have the archive up as soon as he can, and the pod will get delivered to your inbox. And they'll replay it. You know, I keep forgetting. I got to get a hold of Steve Cohen in New York, and really got to get him to play this 5 to 8 Saturday mornings. There's no reason they couldn't do that. I keep forgetting. I'll do that. You know what? I'm going to sit right here, and instead of going down for lunch downstairs, I will try to get that done. All right. I want to thank everybody. Jay Pribman, James Scully, Marty McGee, Hammer, and Nancy Uri Holtis, Jeff Siegel, Nick Tamaro, Mike Welch, and Mary Rampolini, Casey on the board as well. Good luck today. I'll have the selections up momentarily for Oakland's pick 5 and pick 4 today. I'll do Gulfstream tomorrow, although, boy, I'm tempted to. The Oakland sequence is good, too. Best of luck. We'll recap it all on Monday morning at the races. Thanks, everybody.
Buick 49, black sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul. We don't know. That soul is hard to find.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on
everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.